السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. Today is a very special Ulama Profile, and as every week is where we profile the Ulama that have passed away and we speak about them. But today we speak to probably one of the most senior Ulama of our country of South Africa, who studied under great giants whom you and I just read about in the books of history. And we just wish we were able to witness some of that scene that they had witnessed and some of those people that they had interacted with. And for that, we have on the line with us this evening, Maulana Abdul Khaliq Mulla Saab. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And salam to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Maulana, I must tell you, it's an absolute privilege for me this evening to be able to speak to you, Maulana. Really, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, grant you lots of barakah in your health and wealth, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the means of a lot of afiyah coming to the ummah, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, summa ameen.
Maulana, we know that you've studied by many senior ulama, and probably we'll get there, inshallah. But probably you want to give us a little bit of information about your initial studies of where Maulana began doing your maktab and your hifz class, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana. I started my schooling in 1942. And after 6 months of my Dad decided to take me out of school. So, and thereafter, I've never been to school again. So, in 1942, I started my hips, and my classroom was a very small one where only maximum 4 to 5 people could sit next to each other. It was a mobile classroom. I mean, it was a small little car. Because my father was a rep. So wherever he used to go, I used to go with him, and I used to do my hips work, most of my hips work, in a car. And that's how my hips started. And I completed in 4 years' time, in 1946. And I had two other ustazes in South Africa. One was Maulana Seema Sahib in Washburn, and one ustaz was Hafiz Aminuddin Osmani in Ladysmith Central Mosque. They used to listen to my door. Maulana Seema, I used to learn by him Talimul Islam also. But my hips work was mostly with my dad. He wanted to see to that. So I completed in 1946 after 4 years. And I was told, I don't know if it's true, that in Northern Natal at that time, I was the only one to complete at that age.
Subhanallah, Monana.
That's now before going to India.
Monana, before you went to India, you were extremely fortunate at a very young age, at that time of history when not many people were traveling as much. Maulana went for Hajj with your parents, Maulana.
Yeah, actually now, I must bring this to your notice that in those days, normally parents would only send children for hifz class or any dini work if they're not good for anything else, like becoming a doctor or lawyer or anything. If they found that this child is very weak, they used to put him in the dini field. That was the that's the way people used to think in those days. I remember my dad took me to one of the senior members of my family before leaving for the India trip to make mulaqat and take his dua. So my dad told him, I'm taking my son to India now. He said, for what? He said, no, I want to make him a Mauli, you know, an alim. Then his response was in Gujarati. I can still remember those words after 70-some-odd years. That مولوی بنی نے ہوں کرے لاکری آکی زندگی لاکری کھکڑا ہوا کرے what will he do by becoming a مولوی he will be just having a stick on his desk all the time you know so what I'm trying to say that was the mentality in those days so my father made a great qurbani that in a time when people used to think in this way he decided to sacrifice me for the dini talim
Maulana's father was a hafiz or an alim
no he was not a hafiz he was not an alim but he was very dini inclined person he was a murid of Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi and then later on in the 70s became murid of Hazrat Masihul Ummah Masihul Lakha rahmatullah alayhi so he was not an alim or hafiz but he was a very dini inclined person yes
Maulana, when you went to India and then carried on and then went to study, you would go for Hajj or Umrah with your parents and before you went for studies, Maulana?
Yeah, in 1947, what my father did was whatever he possessed, he sold everything. And we traveled by ship, and with me was my parents, my brother and myself. My brother was 6-7 years younger than me, and we traveled by the ship called Misr, and we got to Jeddah in 12 days' time. And at that time, the ship anchored far from the harbor itself, you know, because there was no facility for getting the ship any closer. So then we had to get into small boats from the ship and get to the harbor. And then from there, then of course, then we left for Mecca. And then my dad and then we all made Umrah. And in Mecca, you know, alhamdulillah, those days, we were in a position to stand next to the well of Zamzam and see people taking out water with the bucket from the Zamzam well.
Mohammed, tell us of that experience. That must have been something amazing to pull water out directly from the well using the bucket system.
Yes. I actually noticed that all people are taking out water from the well with the bucket and wetting their arms and all that, you know, their kafans, wetting their kafans. We used to see them doing all that. And thereafter, then my dad took me to Medina Sharif. And in Medina Sharif, then he left me by one Hindustani alim, an Indian alim, who was married to a Saudi lady, and he wanted me to do some door there, and I stayed there for 4 months in Medina, but it didn't work out very well there because I was told there by this Maulana that I must go to the Haram Sharif. And all those people that travel with us in the ship, when I see them, then I must ask them to give money for the Maulana. You see, I was learning how to collect money now, you know. So when my dad came to know about that, then he made an arrangement to get me back to Mecca. In the meantime, I already spent 4 months there. And then in those 4 months, you know, they used to dress me up like an Arab boy, and I learned the street Arabic, you know, the Arabic that people speak in the house and on the street. So when I used to go to do some shopping also, I used to get it at a reduced price. Anyway, then my dad got me back to Mecca. In the meantime, I stayed for 4 months there in Mecca. My father, when we went for Hajj in the ship, you know, we took plenty of tin food because we're supposed to live there for a long time. Anyway, that was that, and then we got back to Mecca, and after Hajj and all that, then started the journey to India then.
Maulana, tell me the Medina Munawwara at that time. What was Medina at that time in the 50s when you were there, Maulana?
Not 50, 40, the 1947.
What was Medina Munawwara like at that time, Marana?
Well, the Haram Sharif was the old Haram Sharif was very small compared to what it is now. Yeah, we used to manage to go to all the streets and all the bazaar, everything was very near. Nothing was far, you know. And then when Eid came, because Ramzan Eid, I spent day in Medina. The Arab couple took us to one farm, you know, Fajur farm, to spend the Eid day and have picnic and everything down there. It was very nice. Of course, it was not like how it is today, but
I suppose at that time, you know, when they say Medina ki galia in the poetry, the valleys of Medina, you would probably have seen that, Morana.
Yes, you can say that, ji. Okay,
Subsequent to your return to Makkah, Morana?
Yeah, then we got back to Makkah and then we stayed there till the Hajj time. And after Hajj, then we travel again by ship to India. And then in India, then my dad made some inquiries now where to leave me and whose advice he should take. And then he was given some advice to go and meet Maulana Yusuf Binuri Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Yusuf Binuri Rahmatullah Ali at that time used to live in Simla, which is very close to, next to Dabel.
Dabel, ji.
Yeah, next to Dabel is Simla. Maulana Yusuf Binuri Rahmatullah Ali used to live there. So my dad took me to him, and then my dad asked him for advice that where should I leave my son for studies? I want him to become alim, and I want your advice. So on his advice, then he took me to a place called Taraj, where Maulana Ali Muhammad Kara Sahib was living, who was a Ham Sabak, you know, a classmate of Qari Tayyab Sahib, you know.
Chill, chill.
Yeah, and also he was a Mufti of Rangoon before coming to Taraj, before and whole life he was teaching Fi Sabilillah. Whole life he taught Fi Sabilillah. He never took wages from anybody. Yeah, and I, few years
I don't
ago,
think there would be any South Africans before you in Taraj, Maulana.
While I was there in Taraj, then Maulana Abbas Ali Jinnah came up down there, and also the Hafiz Ibrahim Pandur, he was there in Taraj from among the South Africans.
Okay.
Ji. And then I stayed by, then Maulana Ali Muhammad Kara Sahib, he accepted me to be with him, not only being in the madrasa, but also I was very, very fortunate that he took me in his house. I used to live with him in his house. I used to call him dad, you know, Baji. I used to address him, Baji, you know, that's how close we were. I used to live with him, eat with him, drink with him. Everything was with him then, you know. And because I was underage in Abali, so in Ramadan, then I was in charge of listening to all the huffaz that were performing Taraweeh, and I was told to give them correction if they made any mistake. And at home in Nafil Namaz and in Tahajjud Namaz, he used to listen to that Taraweeh section at home. So I stayed there for 4.5 years, Maulana, and thereafter, in 1951, Maulana Umarji of Durban, Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji of Durban, he was returning to South Africa. I think he came from Durban, and now he's completed his studies, and he was returning to South Africa, and he came to meet Maulana Ali Muhammad Kara Sahib in Taraj. And that's the year that now our Maulana decided now to send us to Deoban in 1951.
Subhanallah.
Gee, and then when we got to Deoban, Maulana, then Hazrat Sheikh al-Adab, Maulana Azaz Ali, Rahmatullah Ali, he took my entrance exam in Maqamat-e Hariri, kitab called Maqamat-e Hariri. And he was very happy, and he asked me, you know, where did you study and come? So that, so Maulana Ali Muhammad Kara Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he really prepared us very well for the cause of Alim, you know.
Maulana, for you to remember Maqamat-e Hariri of Abu Zaid al-Saruji after so many decades, Maulana must have really drilled the sabak into you, mashallah.
Yeah, but if you ask me to read today one or two ibarats, I won't be able to, because whole life went into maktab.
Maulana can take a small break now, inshallah. We're going to take a small ad break. Maulana can just hold on for us. When we return from the ad break, inshallah, we will speak about Maulana's days in Deoban, inshallah.
Okay, right, all right.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about Maulana Abdul Khaliq Mullah. What an amazing historical narrative Maulana is giving us regarding his trip to he becoming a Hafiz in the car of his father, and thereafter traveling to Haramain Sharifain, and then studying under Maulana Ali Mia Taraj or Maulana Ali Mia Kara, and thereafter we stop at the point where Maulana then goes to Darul Uloom Deoban. We take an ad break, inshallah. When we return, we shall carry on. Respected listeners, we are speaking this evening to Maulana Hazrat Maulana Abdul Khaliq Mullah Sahib Jamal Barakat, to whom, and Maulana is speaking about his life, his experiences, the places where Maulana learned from. And we're at the point whereby it's now in the 1950s, and Maulana comes to the August Institute of Darul Uloom Deoban, where the cream of the crop are still present there, and Maulana then shares his experiences. Maulana, we have you back.
Yes, yes, Jay.
So, Maulana, you come, your first imtihan into the August Institute of Darul Uloom Deoban is by Sheikh al-Adab. What was your experiences in studying at that time in Darul Uloom, Maulana?
Oh, when you say what was my experiences, Maulana, well, I don't know what you actually want me to talk about.
Let's speak firstly about the lessons, the dars of those ulama of that time.
Yes. Anyway, among my ustad, the name that I can remember was some of the names is Mufti Saeed Sahib, Maulana Naeem Sahib, Maulana Abdul Ahad Sahib, Maulana Fakhrul Hassan, Maulana Zuhur, Maulana Jalil, Allama Ibrahim Balyawi, and Hazrat Sheikh al-Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Rahmatullah Ali. And then beside these ustaz, other ustaz of the that I remember name are Azaz Ahmad, who was known as Ahmad Mia, and Maulana Nasir Sahib, who was the brother of Maulana Bashir. Maulana Nasir was my ustaz also of Mirzi. And his brother Maulana Bashir was the ustaz of Falakiyat Astronomy. And Maulana Mehraj Sahib. These are the ulama that I can remember during my stay in Deoban. And as far as eating and staying is concerned, I used to first live in an area called Ihatabagh, number 10. I stayed there for a few years, and in the same area, Maulana Yusuf Pandur was also in one of the rooms, living opposite my room. And thereafter, I moved to the room area called Burj Shimali, the tower.
Okay.
I was staying downstairs, and above me was Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali's son, Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Sahib. He used to live on top. And when I used to run short of some money or anything like that, I used to go to him and ask him to help me out and pay him back later on. Yeah, my My income was very less. I used to get, say, 52 rupees a month, you know. It's about £4 those days, 13 rupees to a pound. And so sometimes I used to run short. And as far as meals are concerned, I could not afford to have the better class meal. So we used to have this buffalo curry, Molana. Beska gosh, buffalo curry. Never saw a buffalo in my life in South Africa, you know. And now we had to eat the curry of that. And the curry was, just like watery, you know, very watery. But you couldn't make wuzu with it, right? And there was a doll, very sticky doll. You could stick something with it also if you want to. And this was the meal every day for 4 years, Molana, every day.
For four years.
Of course, the roti was very nice. Tandoor roti we used to get. That was wonderful roti. And chapati, of course. Chapati, you have to eat it straight away, otherwise it becomes like a leather. You know, so you have to eat it straight away, then it only is okay. And you wanted to know from me the ulamas who impacted on me, you know? And so among them was, of course, without any doubt, was Hazrat Sheikh al-Islam, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madini Rahmatullah Alayhi, who when he used to walk, you know, to come to give the dars, the sabbat, it looked like a king walking, you know, with his Arabic jubba, and that awe-inspiring personality, you know, Jalali personality also. And so one would miss any lesson sometime, but you won't find any student missing that dars, the lesson of Hazrat Sheikh al-Islam, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. And of course, Hazrat Sheikh al-Adab, Maulana Izzaz Ali Rahmatullah Ali, what was very wonderful quality in him was humbleness. He was so humble that hardly any student had a chance to greet him first. He was the one that would greet you first before you could greet him. That was so much of tawazu was in him. Of course, and Allama Ibrahim Balyawi Rahmatullah Ali, he was a master in maqulats, you know, in logics and all that. He was somebody of great knowledge in that field. And then there was one Maulana Abdul Ahad Sahib, very friendly Maulana also. He was very friendly to the South African students also. And Maulana, as far as some other experiences of Durban, excuse me, it used to be very cold in winter day. Very cold and no hot water to bath with. Just quickly get under the tap and have a quick bath and get out from there, you know. And in my free time in Durban, I did learn bookbinding, and I used to spend an hour in what you call Urdu calligraphy, Urdu kitabat, you know. And in our free days, chutti days, Friday or so, sometimes we used to do cycling, go to Roorkee, go to Thanabon, go Jalalabad, go Raipur, where Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri used to live. I met him also. He was great, great Buzurud and great Sufi also. In the Ramadan, we used to get chutti. Madrasa used to be closed. So for Taraweeh, Maulana Ali Muhammad Kara of Taraj, he used to make the arrangement for me where to perform Taraweeh in Gujarat. Some years I used to perform Taraweeh in my hometown, India hometown, Kator. I was born in South Africa, but my family was in Kator, sometime in Mota Waracha, sometime in Surat. And then at the end of the Ramadan, we're always waiting for that little gift, you know, coming forward. Always, it was a very small amount. We used to get sometimes 60 rupees or 50 rupees. And, you know, Maulana, what we used to do, we just go and buy one length of material to sew our kurta, and don't miss the faluda from Chapa Bazaar, you know. You must eat the faluda. That was like something that we never used to miss. Anyway, Marana, that is a little bit of the urban experience. And then comes in 1955,
Before you go there, I just want to ask you one thing. And whatever you can remember, you were the last group of students that studied Bukhari under Marana Hussein Ahmad Madani. What was that Bukhari dars like, Marana?
Marana, it was... look, Marana, I'll tell you something. I was very, very young.
Okay, understood.
Yeah, I was very young. But as I explained earlier on, that... as young as I was, but I would never miss that dars to be in the presence of a great personality like Hazrat Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, who wouldn't like to be there. So it was wonderful, but no one could ever see him eye to eye. You could not see him eye to eye. Your eyes will, eyelids will drop. It's so much of jalal on his face, on his Mubarak face, Maulana.
Subhanallah.
And the South African students that were there when I went to Durban, when I got there, there was only one student in my time before me, and that was Maulana Noor Ali Mangli of Nelspruit, who then later on moved to
Benoni.
He went to Benoni. And before Benoni, he was in another little town also. Anyway, then after me, Maulana Yusuf Monia came there. Eh? And then also, sorry about that. And Maulana Yusuf Bandur Sahib was there. And then from Natal, Stanga, Maulana Muhammad Qasim Borat. He was there for a short time. And of course, then our big man, you know, Maulana Ibrahim Mia from Mia's Farm. He also came in while I was down there. And in the last 2 years of my stay there, Maulana Ismail Razak also came. So these were the South African students during my time that were present down there.
Maulana, after you made Farid and after you graduated from Darul Uloom Deoband, you returned to South Africa and some of your activities, Maulana?
Before I get there, let me just explain to you in 1955 when the Dastarbandi took place. When the turban was put on for graduation turban, it was done by Hazrat Sheikh al-Islam, Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, and Sheikh al-Hadith of Jamia Qasimiyah Muradabad, whose name was Sayyid Fakhruddin Ahmad. He was the Sadr Mudarris, head ustad of the Jamia Qasimiyah Muradabad. So he was present there too. So Maulana Madani did the half wrapping up of the hamama, and the other half was done by Hazrat Sayyid Fakhruddin Sahib, you know. So we were fortunate to have these two great people in the Dastarbandi function. And the both of them honored us with the khususi sanad, with a special permission for narration of hadith, you know. Right, and then, so thereafter, now after 9 years, Maulana, I returned to South Africa in 1956. My dad was not in a position to call me in between. So after 9 years, I returned to South Africa. And with me in the ship was Maulana Ismail Razak also. We both came together from India in the ship. And then thereafter, Maulana, from 1957 onwards, the teaching career started in South Africa then, Maulana. So for my first, I'll just give you a list of places. First, I was taught in Dundee. When I arrived in South Africa, my father was living in Dundee at that time. So I stayed there with my dad, and I was the mudarris at the madrasa teaching there for 6 months. And thereafter, for the next 58, 59, I was in Glencombe making imamat and teaching the children. And from 1960 to 1972, I was at the Nugget Street Madrasa, Nugget Street Mosque. I did imamat there, and I was teaching there. When I started there, there was no masjid there, the country, the Jamaat Khana. Masjid was built in my presence there. And I was staying there those days. People from Natal could not come and work in the Transvaal without a working permit. So I used to stay in Joburg and work with a visitor's permit, Molana. So now and then, sometimes you find some people reporting us to the government, and then we had to run away from there, quickly get into the train and run away to Natal. And then when we are told again by the officials of the Jamaat that now you can come back, and then we'll get back on the train and come back.
SubhanAllah.
So I thought for quite a while there until the madrasa closed down, and then the madrasa opened in Gold Street. In Gold Street, Imam was in the masjid, and Gold Street was the madrasa of Nagashti, Madrasa Himayatul Islam. And then when this madrasa closed down, then I was still an imam at the masjid, but now I was working for a while for CIT in Indonesia. You know, I was told to give talks on morals in the various CIT madrasas. So I did that for a while, and thereafter I was still an imam at the Nagar Street Mosque, and then started to teach in the Rulipur for a while. And my first car was bought now in this stay in Johannesburg. It was a 1956 Vauxhall Velox, Molana. And that car was then sold to Molana Abbas Ali Jina, Hazrat Molana Abbas Ali Jina Sahib, you know. Okay, so then from 1972 to 1975, I was now back in Natal in Pietermaritzburg. And my family, my father, my brother, they were all reps. They used to do repping. So for a while,
a small break, or are you okay, Morana?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
Then for a while, I was doing repping also. But my heart was in the madrasa. But I was doing my repping. And then while doing repping, I was asked to join the madrasa in Pietermaritzburg at Nizamia. So I taught there for a while. And thereafter, from 1975 to 1984, I was now in Ladysmith again. I was principal at the Sufi madrasa in Ladysmith. And I also had a shop also in that time. So for a few years, I was at the Sufi Madrasa, and then I moved to, then while the family was running the shop and my son was helping, I then was told to come and teach in Pietermaritzburg at the rest of Madrasa. So I taught there until my son decided to go to university. Then I came back to Ladysmith, and now I was in the shop also and running the HIFS class in the Darul Quran Madrasa, where Maulana Ismail Razak was the main person in charge in bringing about this madrasa. So I used to do the HIFS class down there. And then after a while, I sold my shop, and I still continued with the HIFS class. And then time came, and I had to move away. And then from 1984 to 1988, I was in Middelburg in the Eastern Transvaal. I did imamah there, and I was the principal of the madrasa down there, Molana. And then from 1988 to 1991, I was back in Johannesburg. And I was called by the Mehri Masjid Jamaat when the masjid was ready. I was one of the first imams there in the of Mehri Masjid, and with me was also Molana Junaid Hassan, Khalil Bhai's son. So I stayed there in that masjid for 3.5 years. And thereafter, I moved to my final teaching destination, that was Betal. From 1991 to 2001, 10 years I spent in Betal. There I was doing imamah, I was teaching and running a HIFS class, Molana. And then that's the end of the teaching career from 1957 to 2001. 2002 now comes, and now my children, my sons, both sons, my young son's name is, my eldest son's name is Muhammad, who is in Joburg. The younger son is Aslam, he is in Dubai. These two sons, they offered us a retirement, that now, Dad, now you did enough now, we will see to your requirements and needs. So they offered us a retirement, and we retired from that time. Right up to 2013, I was still staying, but in my younger son's house in Johannesburg. But these two sons of mine, they were looking after us financially, and they sought to all our needs. I lived in Greenside that time, from 2002 to 2013. Then my wife got very sick, and we were advised to move away from the house that we were living in. So we got back to Ladysmith from 2014 onwards, Molana, and got back to Ladysmith. And then now, all along, my two sons were helping us financially. And I have two daughters, Molana, one in Joburg, one here. And they looking after, they're giving, they're doing our khidmat, myself and my wife. They're doing our khidmat as much as they can. But my younger daughter, because I'm close to, I'm living next opposite her house. So she is taking care of all my day-to-day needs. And the son-in-laws also, whenever I am with them, they see to my needs. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with wonderful children. And my big son has offered me, given me a house to live in. And my younger son calls me, used to call the parents quite often to Dubai. And we used to visit them, and they used to make our khidmat down there. And once he offered me a nice amount of money also to change a car. I'm always looking for an excuse, Molana, to change cars, you know. That was my passion. So he helped me out with a nice big amount once. So this is the story of my life, Molana, that I told you in short.
Molana, absolutely I make dua
for this, Molana. I make dua for my children. Allah Pak must give them abundant barakat in their sustenance, and Allah make their old age a very comfortable one.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah. Truly amazing, Molana. I really enjoy hearing about Molana's service, his khidmat, his asatiza, his safar, all of these things, Molana. We are indebted to people like you for the effort you have made, for the sacrifice you have made, for all the times you all have established him in the difficult times. You all know what difficulty you all went through. We just want to acknowledge you all as an ummah. Say jazakallah to your effort. The reward you will get by Allah is something we won't even be able to comprehend. And we are ever grateful for people like you all in our country, Morana.
Allah must accept. It all depends on qabuliyat. Allah must accept efforts that are full of faults.
Ameen.
Allah must accept it. If Allah accepts it, then alhamdulillah, it's worth it, then, Morana.
Morana, jazakallah so much for your time. Please do remember us, the Jamiat Radio Islam, our elders, Morana Ayub, Morana Basadi, Morana Basjina. Please do remember them also in your
time. Allah keep you always happy, and may Allah be happy with you all and look after you all, and Allah Pak take the khidmat of deen from you all.
Ameen. Jazakallah so much, Morana.
Acha. All right, Morana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Respected listeners, we thought that today we do it a bit differently. And then we speak about one of the most senior ulama of our country. Maulana is probably nearing 90 years old. And Maulana is one of the senior ulama. He was in the last class that studied under Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani. Maulana subsequent, the year after that, then passed away. Next to him probably would be Maulana Yusuf Monia Sahab. Damat barakatuhum. Obviously, there must be others as well, undoubtedly. We're not doubting any of the ulama. And if we have missed them, please do tell us about them. What an honor to be able to speak to them. on our program and learn from the experiences and acknowledge the amazing effort of the Akabir of the Summa, those that have laid the grounds and made South Africa a fertile place to be able to do the khidmat of Deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them according to His great, great shan and His great, great being. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. All the effort that is going on in South Africa, in the different parts of the country, is all because the efforts of our seniors, Maulana Abdul Khaliq, Maulana Ibrahim Mia, Maulana Ahmed Mia, Mufti Sanjalwi, Maulana Muhammad Bamji, all of these great, great Maulana Qasim Sema, Haji Baipadia. If we take names, we know how many names we probably would have to take for the litany of ulama that have served our country. We are ever, ever grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed us with such amazing ulama. Inshallah, we will keep on speaking about them, those that are alive as well as those that have passed on, with the hope that when we leave this world, at least we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us from the jama'ah and the group of His awliya and His pious people. We are ever grateful. The ulama program carries on after Ramadan, inshallah. For the next 4 weeks, there won't be the ulama profile. However, I do have a slot on the radio, one of the evenings, inshallah. Probably it will be advertised in the coming days. Also, inshallah, on Sunday, 11 o'clock, we have the Gorgeous Collection 17 and 18. With the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, no one would have ever thought we would come to this. The launch of the Gorgeous Collection 17 and 18, inshallah. Let's hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it in His court and makes it beneficial for the ummah, inshallah. For myself, Ubaidullah Boja, Brother Usama, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.